That's a first. Good morning. Just ask if you bear with me as the Holy Spirit guides and leads me. And being good Baptists, I'm sure we know how that is, but I would just ask you to spend a little time with me. No homecoming worship service could be complete without at least one opportunity for sharing and giving a testimony of how God's grace remains steady. Even in times when our circumstances and our situations may indicate otherwise. Quite frankly, we have storms in our lives that none of us could forecast or predict. Sometimes the sun doesn't shine in our lives. And sometimes it's just not bright. But for me and my family, especially the last 18 months, we found ourselves in what I call our Job experience. We're not unique. Adversity comes to us all. But in particular for my wife and I, we found ourselves 5 months being first-time parents, career coming to an end, no control of my own. But I just tell you, God still lives. God is still in our lives and exists. My testimony is that at a time when I'm thinking everything is leaving me, fleeting me, I'm thinking I'm having a Job experience. I'm not having a Job experience. Unlike Job, my wife did not ridicule me. She did not tell me to toss aside my God or my faith. In fact, I've seen her grow more in her faith. So I'm not like Job. Job's friends left him, abandoned him. I'm not like Job. My friends have stood by me. My good friends have come up from Raleigh this morning. Also like Job, I'm unlike Job in that I didn't lose my family. In fact, my family has been restored to a place that's unbelievable that I didn't know. The testimony that my brother can share with you, his own testimony, but the fact that my brother and I, our bond has become stronger. I typically have been the stable, supportive one in my brother, never believing him and never losing sight or losing faith in him in all of his mishaps, learnings. I now find myself hearing my brother saying that, you know, you've been my rock for so many years. God reminded me, you're not like Job. And then we came upon and we met you all, First Baptist Church of Elon. Mark and I had a conversation not too long ago, and Mark stated the obvious and said, thank you for giving us a chance. It's like, yeah, Mark, I stick out a little bit in the congregation, but you know what? God's people are God's people. And your love that you showed my wife and I, your visits to the hospital, just supporting us, coming by and joining us in fellowship. Some of us have enjoyed that fellowship a lot closer at Ace Speedway, but it's been fellowship nonetheless. And I know right now, Elon, you're going through a transition. You may be even asking yourselves, as you're going through this unknown period of searching for who God will be sending your way, I want to encourage you that even in my life, I would love to stand up here and say the possibility that, yes, we have job security, we have this and that. I'm overcoming some health issues myself. I don't know. I'm not really sure. But I do know that God is Jehovah Jireh. He's our sustainer, the provider. As we pursue the will of God, he will be sure to provide our legitimate needs. I believe our times of uncertainty or the storms in our lives are moments when God is going to radically transform us as individuals, as a body of Christ, to trust and seek him. He loves us too much to leave us where we were. Nevertheless, being humans, change is usually difficult, so we struggle as we go down this new path. We don't always know what we're doing, but our Lord is the way. We can trust that he will get us to the proper destination. I didn't realize what would be required of us when you seek a real, authentic relationship with Christ. And through Christ, we have a relationship with the Father. God knows. However, whatever's going on, I believe he orchestrates the whole thing. I'm confident that we will grow, and I will grow tremendously in faith and devotion to God in the days that will come as we travel this path together. I ask you to hang in there, stay encouraged, continue to pray without ceasing. Above all else, take heed to the greatest commandment, and that's to love one another. And I just ask that you continue to bless me, but also you all take seriously your commitment and your calling in your ministry, and that's to be honest, loving, respectful, and faithful. You've been effective witness for Christ for my family. And First Baptist Church of Elon, I tell you on your homecoming day to remain encouraged and continue to accept your call as a church to be compassionate in your service. Thank you.
Please stand for our offertory hymn. We're going to sing "How Great Is Our God and How Great Thou Art." Please stand.
Thank you. bow with me for our offertory. Oh Lord, on this homecoming Sunday, we think of home, times past, and shared memories which become lasting gifts of security and comforts us in times that are uncertain. As we ponder the gifts of home and friendship, of the lessons of faith over the years, we give you thanks for your most precious gift of hope in life that we know most intimately and ultimately in Jesus Christ. Accept our gratitude represented by these gifts and these tithes. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This morning is my honor to welcome one of our own home. Todd Higginson spent most of his teenage years deeply connected with First Baptist Church as a part of the youth group, and I was honored and privileged to become a friend of his during that time here at First Baptist Elon. First Baptist Elon affirmed Todd with a license to preach in 1999 and ordained him into the ministry in 2002. Todd's a graduate of Western Alamance High School, Western Carolina University, and the Baptist Theological Seminary at Richmond. He also engaged in a year of additional congregational leadership studies at Virginia Theological Seminary. Todd has served as pastor in congregations in Virginia and North Carolina and currently serves as the pastor of White Oak Baptist Church in Archer Lodge, North Carolina, that he told me was the newest city incorporated town in the state of North Carolina. Raleigh is a suburb of Archer Lodge, right? You know what you told me? That's what I thought. Todd is married to Ashley, who unfortunately could not be with us this morning, who is a speech-language pathologist, but Todd's two children are upstairs in the nursery, having lots of fun up there. Todd, it is a blessing to have you back, brother. We look forward to hearing what God has placed on your heart this morning.
They still got it. Wow. You ordained me into ministry like 2002. I just have to complain that I had a full thick head of hair before you did that. What did you do to me? Sending me out to be a minister. But you look great. I mean, my eyes aren't as good as what they used to be, but you look great. Thank you so much for the invitation to come back home to Elon First Baptist. And it's good to be back. And it's a wonderful occasion for us to be together. And even if it's just for a moment, it's good for us to reconnect. My wife, Ashley, could not travel with me today. She's on call with her job this weekend, but I'll be delighted to introduce you to our kids there in the nursery after the service. I'm also grateful that my parents, Bill and Diane Jones, can be here this morning. Yesterday, it marked a week anniversary since they moved back to this community. So now, once again, they're calling this place home. And I know they're glad for that. For just a moment, let's study a little 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. I might actually be able to do it from the screen if you'd like to follow along. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Janice put a typo in my sermon title, but maybe she did me a favor. I came up with this unchained memory connecting this scripture passage and what I felt led to speak about. She put unclaimed memory. But maybe that's our call today, to claim our memories. All of those memories that come with 65 and some of you beyond years. We're to claim them, not to just forget or let them become the good old days or muddled up into what we want them to be. But maybe we are here to claim all of the memories God has given us through the years. Today's passage almost sounds like something Jimmy Stewart's character would have said in the 1965 Civil War picture called Shenandoah. Stewart's character is a pacifist farmer trying to raise 7 children on his own without his wife's presence, but with her strict instructions to raise them up as good old Christians. Good Christians. So at a bountiful dinner, they're all gathered together, and he gives this blessing. Lord, we cleared this land, we plowed it, we sowed it, we harvested it, then we cooked the harvest. It wouldn't be here. We wouldn't be eating it if we hadn't done it all by ourselves. We worked dog bone for every crumb and morsel. But we thank you just the same, Lord, for this food we're about to eat. Amen. Now, could you imagine some foolish person in this church? You pick your own foolish person. Could you imagine someone lifting up the blessing before the 65th anniversary homecoming luncheon blessing, saying something in that prayer along the lines of, "Lord, 65 years ago we cleared this land and we built this church and we gathered the money and we gathered the people and we worshiped. It would not be here. We would not be worshiping you if we had not done it all ourselves. And we are tired, Lord. We're not ready for another stewardship campaign, an outreach emphasis, and pastor search process. But we thank you just the same, Lord. And thank you for this church and the food we're about to eat. Amen." For this writer to the letter of Timothy, we read, "This is my gospel, and I'm suffering for it in prison like a criminal, and I'll continue to endure all things for the sake of others, knowing Christ. So I'll endure hardship, and I won't be ashamed of the gospel." We don't know if it's really Paul, but it sounds like Paul. It's kind of boastful like Paul, kind of full of himself like Paul. Paul's laundry list of endurance sounds a whole lot like complaining to me. He has suffered for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has built entire church communities. He jumped through fire for his spiritual children. Paul was focused on his ministry and the results of his good work. And sometimes we're a little like Paul. We get focused on our work, so focused as we fret about our work, our results, our successes, our failures. And complaining is one way we come to face our strengths and weaknesses, our limitations, our abilities. I suppose you could look at it as a way of saying, "God, help me, help." So in its way, it's its own prayer. Even when we cannot recognize that God created the land that we cleared off and provided the human effort and the materials necessary for building, we still, even in our grumbling old ways, cling to prayer. In a similar way, the writer of this letter does much more than complain. The writer proclaims. The writer proclaims Jesus Christ raised from the dead. The author emphasizes the believer's conviction by his experience of the risen Christ. Instead of focusing solely on suffering and truth, the writer addresses issues relating to discipleship and hope, and discipleship, Christian instruction. So here again, verses 11 through 13 from the Message, which is a more contemporary paraphrase of Scripture. It says, "If we die with him, we'll live with him. If we stick it out with him, we'll rule with him. If we turn our backs on him, he'll turn his back on us. If we give up on him, he does not give up on us. For there's no way God can be false to himself." What we have here is an ancient baptismal hymn fragment, an old song testifying to the Christian's confidence of new life in Christ by recalling the beginning of the Christian's faith journey with baptism. When the believers died to their old sins and old ways in the world, they will live in the new way of discipleship with Jesus Christ. And building upon the theme of Christian hope, he writes, "If we endure, we will also reign with Christ." So if believers persist in their journey of faith, then they will enjoy the fullness of the reign of Christ, both in the present and in the coming kingdom of God. But at the same time, we receive a little bit of a warning about apostasy, which is turning your back to a faith proclaimed. Apostasy is the denial of a faith once confessed. Those who deny Christ will be denied by Christ. Their future depends upon perseverance. And our minds quickly wander to occasions when we may have denied God and guilt will start to settle in, especially during those Job moments. When everything seems to be falling apart, the denial creeps its way in. But then we receive some good news of grace. If we are faithless, God remains faithful, for God cannot deny God's self. Thankfully, by the love and grace of God through Jesus Christ, we are saved from our own sinful doubts, our own sinful shortcomings. And I'm sure you've come up with a few of those over the past 65 years. Sometimes we feel like our baptisms were not good enough. Just not good enough. Now, I accepted Christ when I was a ripe old age of 9. I had it all together, right? As a 9-year-old. I did not understand that much about Christian discipleship until I became older. And when I was a teenager, back when this church had mint green carpet and pews, back when the youth sat along that back row and this other row, back when I would make doodles of the choir, and I have to apologize, they were not very flattering. When I was a teenager, I wanted to be rebaptized. Did you know that? I wanted to get rebaptized. And Norman Harris encouraged me to rededicate my life. He assured me that those waters that I'd passed through were good to the last drop. It's something I came up with. Today's passage reminds us of our baptismal waters, when our old selves are richly and symbolically buried with Christ and raised to live with the living Christ. And now that I'm a pastor, I'm frequently surprised by the number of requests of people coming to me asking me to rebaptize them. So I suppose it's difficult for us to fully grasp God's lasting goodness and grace. So I prayed about it. And to counter this, a few years ago, I implemented a new ritual for baptism services. During the invitation hymn, I simply hold a bowl of water. And I invite anyone who wants to come forward to remember their baptism, to come down. And I do not put a cross on their head, or I do not act that priestly in the fact I just hold a bowl of water and they come forward and they touch the water and they touch their forehead. And all I do is stand there and say something along the lines of, "You are still a beloved child of God. Don't you forget it." We are called to remember. Baptisms are celebrations, not just for new believers, but for all Christians to be reminded of those waters that have washed over us. They are occasions for remembering. The young minister who was the recipient of this letter is being encouraged to remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. And here we are in the church where we find ourselves so busy with so many seemingly important things like budgets and programs and committees and personalities that we sometimes forget what is central. And yet, we're still being called to remember. Remember is a word rich in biblical meaning. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it as the Lord commanded through Moses. Do this in remembrance of me, as Christ spoke to his disciples during that holy meal. Remembering in Scripture is a call back to the sacred. It's a call to remember Christ's body, becoming Jesus' witnesses in this world together. Can't you see I've become a preacher? We make up stuff. Word. Remember. Like the writer to Timothy, who urged him to remind those early Christ followers of the highest priorities and to avoid wrangling over words, we are called out to remember Jesus Christ. We're called out to speak the truth with a gentle boldness, avoiding cross and crisscrossed words. If nothing else, Timothy's mentor reminds us that Jesus comes from a long line of human beings. He knows what it is to suffer. He knows what it is to struggle when we struggle. His victory over temptation and sin was not just his own. It's ours to remember. It's ours to claim. Remember him, the one who gave his life to free us from sin, the one who was always with us to strengthen and encourage, even when we are faithless, when we are grumbling and complaining, even when we're self-absorbed, Christ is faithful. Now, as we all know, it's quite rare for a couple to celebrate a 65th wedding anniversary these days. And maybe that's why the traditional anniversary gift for a 65th wedding anniversary is something precious, like a diamond. A diamond is the hardest natural substance on this earth that we know of. And the only natural thing that can be used to cut a diamond is created out of other diamonds. So it's a special thing. Well, 65 years of ministry is a precious, beautiful thing, too. It's filled with 65 years of difficult memories. It's filled with 65 years of fantastic memories. And like every marriage and all of our human endeavors, churches, too, are quite fragile. My prayer is that you will fondly recall your past, that you will vividly remember God's faithfulness right now, and that you will boldly walk forward to serve God and neighbor as God is calling you. Now, that might require for you to keep reinventing yourselves in order to do this faithfully. That's my prayer for you. Now, what would the Apostle Paul have to say about this were he here today? So with today's technology, with Paul in prison, let's say he takes to social media, perhaps he would tweet us with the 65th anniversary message to remember, remind, be diligent. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for this church, for the differences of opinions within this body, and for the unity that comes with putting Jesus in the center. Lord, we pray that you will continue to guide and strengthen and nourish this fellowship at the individual level. Lord, that you also let this place become more than a place, more than a building, more of a launching pad as people continue to grow in their gifts. Help them to assess the needs around them to meet all the needs in this changing, crazy world. Send us out to do your wonderful ministry and equip us to do bold things in your name. Lord, thank you for each person here and each person who made this place a special place with all the fingerprints that still remain. We ask these things in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.